Well, welcome to worship. It is a fun opportunity to be back with you guys. I've been gone for a couple of weeks and traveling around. We did go to the Lake of the Woods. I did convince my wife to go along with, and she was never going to go back. So at least we did it one time. She got the biggest fish the first day, and that still didn't do enough for her, but we did it, so we're fine. But then I've been talking to some other pastors and visiting some other churches, and the thing that's been helpful is that it confirms a lot of things that we're doing here, but it also invites us into some challenges that we're going to be connecting into this fall. So I know you're getting a lot of information thrown at you today, but hopefully we'll be able to get this into bite-sized pieces for you. There are Lutherans in Plano, Texas. I just want to tell you that. We were down there. I never go there. It's too close to Oklahoma for my good. We were there, and the pastor said, why don't you come to the 10:30? It's more casual. So we show up at the 10:30, my wife and I. I'm wearing Minnesota casual. I'm wearing a button-up shirt like this. I'm wearing shorts and flip-flops. My wife's in Minnesota casual as well. It's like we're going to go outside to outdoor worship. We walk to the front door. The usher opens up in a three-piece suit. We walk in. We are woefully underdressed. By the way, I'm the only brown guy in the entire church. That's kind of the way I feel a lot of places. Anyway, they looked at us, and they're just kind of like, who are these people? But a little old lady walked up to us, and I wish we could all be this little old lady. This little old lady walked up to me and Heather alone in a church. Do you ever go to church alone? Not knowing anybody at all. I knew the pastor. We were invited there to check it out. I took pictures. But no one came up to say hi to us. Except this little old lady. She walks up. Her name's Irene. I remember Irene. And she comes up to us. She goes, I haven't seen you here before. No, you haven't. And she goes, where are you guys from? I said, we're from Minneapolis area. And she goes, no way. She goes, my friend's from Owatonna. She just moved down here 6 months ago. You should go say hi. So she brought us over to say hi to this other lady from Owatonna, and all of a sudden we've got community built, and I would probably go back to that church. Why? Because a little old lady walked up to me and said, I don't think I've seen you here before. Prince of Peace needs a lot more little old ladies. And we've got them, so we're good. So we're good. I need you to talk to Irene. But it's been a good couple weeks, and I'm excited to be back. We have a lot of work to do. Well, we are in this worship series on Psalms. Psalms of orientation, Psalms of disorientations, Psalms of reorientation. Psalms when everything is going great, Psalms when things are just down in the depths of pain and misery, and then we move into these Psalms that help us recognize that pain and misery, but also know that God's been there with us through it all. So I want to read to you guys some of the words of the song we just sang. And yeah, it's not a happy-go-lucky song. It's not a, hey, let's just, you know, clap along. You know why? Because life isn't always clap-along life. Life is not always clap-along life. Life dishes us, and we have to take it real, and we have to see where we are in the midst of it instead of ignoring it. And that's what these psalms do. And this is what this hymn is based off. Through the dark of doubt and sorrow, onward goes the pilgrim band, singing songs of expectation, marching to the promised land. They're marching, they're moving, but they have lots of doubt and sorrow. And I think that's the challenge for you and I in our faith world, because that song does not sound that far off of 130. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Have you ever been watching for the morning? Now, just think any kind of morning, something new. I remember, you know, walking all the different health things that me and my wife have been over the last couple of years. And you know what that is. When you go and you give that test, what are you waiting for? You're waiting for the results. You're waiting for the morning. You are sitting there with anticipation. And then the doctor calls and says, hey, we need to talk. How many days does that take? And all of a sudden, we're waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting. That's how desperate this writer is. It's not blowing it off, not just thinking everything's fine, not just, hey, we're going to be okay, but actually dealing with it. Waiting like those who watch for the morning. Whenever I hear this psalm, I think of a story that I think I've shared here before, but it encapsulates this psalm in such a poignant ways that I want to share it with you again and remind you of this story. So one of the things that I've been able to do here at Prince Peace years and years ago was work with lots and lots and hundreds of kids. And I saw hundreds and hundreds of kids every single year come and go. Mainly my job was 6th through 8th grade, middle school. Yeah, I act like a middle schooler most of the time. And I remember one year there were these two sisters. They weren't twins. They were a year apart, but they kind of acted like twins. And Jen was really quiet, and Michelle was like this kid that said, I'm here. I don't care if you want me or not, I am here. And I'm like, okay, this kid's gonna be either crazy or a ton of fun. And she ended up being a ton of fun. They're all a ton of fun. She goes into high school, goes into college, and I don't really keep in touch. And then she calls me in her young 20s and says, I'm getting married. I would like for you to do the wedding. But I want you to know we'd like to do the wedding before my mom dies. Her mom had cancer, and she wanted it. And I normally just don't do, hey, we're not going to go on a timeline here unless you guys have been, I mean, if you're trying to do a shotgun wedding just to do something before your mom dies, usually those weddings don't last, those marriages don't last. So let's think about this. We need to talk about this. Well, as we were doing that over several days and weeks, it became clear that it wasn't going to work, and her mom passed. And it was really, really hard. But Michelle had a celebration coming called a wedding that was going to happen 3 months later. And so she covered up all the pain of losing her mom with the excitement of getting married. So I did the wedding, and I'm watching this kind of, are we faking it? Are we just covering up the pain of losing our mom with the celebration of a wedding? Because if we're doing that, it's going to come back no matter what. So then I get a call 6 months later, and she said, Paul, Michelle, and she's on the phone, and she's crying. She goes, my dad died. So within 6 months, her mom, her dad die. And the only people in her family are her and her sister, Jen. And they're 23, 25 years old. One of the times I'm meeting with Michelle, she says, Paul, I've lost my faith. And I said, yes, you have. You have lost your faith. Because the faith that you had that helped you navigate your relationship with God no longer exists, because your pain and your suffering has changed you in dramatic ways, which changes your relationship and your faith with God. Michelle, you grew up with this childlike faith, right? And God wants us to be in this childlike faith, not to ignore the world, but to trust in Jesus just like a child would, hopefully, their parent. So we kind of went on a journey of conversation, and then she disappeared. She disappeared. No texts, no phone calls. And I'm like, well, okay, time, space. Years go by. Years go by. Now it's COVID. And during COVID, do you remember all the technology pieces that we pastors are trying to figure out to try to film ourselves so that we can get a message of hope and love out to our community? Well, we did that too before I came here. And I did it at home and videotaped at home. And I did it enough that my wife saw me struggling and she stepped in to be the executive producer, the producer, and the director of a 15-minute weird sermon I was going to do. But that means that she got to push the red button. I felt pretty good about that, and I don't have to get up and do that. So she pushed the red button. I remember the first time she did it. She pushed the red button, I'm preaching. And we're preaching on Job, and I'm just getting into Job during COVID. Maybe not the best thing to do. But Job, 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 and we're doing it. And I see her looking at me. And she's doing one of these things. And I'm like, try not to look at her because I'm looking at the camera, but I can see her out of the corner of my eye looking at me weird. And I go, what's going on? And she goes, you have a bald spot. She goes, I've never seen it before. She goes, you sitting at that angle and me looking at that angle, I can see that you are, well, I've heard now, thinning. And I've heard from some of you, you're like, go away, don't talk to me. We've thinned out, by the way. And the weirdest thing is when she said that, and then she said, you ought to get that looked at. You know what my brain weirdly went to was Michelle. Because the last time I talked to Michelle, Michelle told me that she was working for a hair restoration place in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. And I'm going, boom, I can call her up. I can act like I really care about my hair because I don't. But maybe I can see how she's doing. And I call her up. I don't know if I have the same number. It works. She picks it up. She's so excited to talk to me. She said, Paul, you would not know our journey. And I go, yeah, you wouldn't know mine. I'm dealing with hair loss. And she moved to Texas. She went to AA. She had covered her pain with alcohol. Her and her husband went through AA together. Actually, they had kids. They found a church. And she said to me, I have a new faith. She said, what you said to me about my old faith? Yeah. I have a much deeper and richer and more honest conversations and a deeper faith with God than I ever had before. And I said, what did you do, Michelle? What actually did you do? And she said, I decided to just be open. Little moments. I think she learned this in her AA stuff. Just little moments. Instead of focusing and just on the pain of my mom and my dad and the life circumstances, little tiny moments broke me open. It broke me open. She said these words that every Lutheran pastor hopes that their community can understand. She said, God found me and I was open. Just a little bit. I wait for you as those who are waiting all night for the morning. What happens to us in our lives is that things happen to us and we close off and we shut down. And we can think that God is not available to us, that we are speaking out of the depths and out of the pain. And we are still marching through the night looking for the light. And I want you to know it is okay to be in a disorientating place with you and God and your faith. It is okay. It is normal. It means you are in a relationship. If you're struggling with God, it means that you are in a relationship. It may not be as deep as you think it is, or it may not be what somebody else's is as you point to somebody else's example, but God is with you in that struggle, in that relationship. And God says, even in the midst of your disorientation, there will be light. There will be light. God says, be open and keep going. So that one day, maybe some dude's gonna call you and Michelle's gonna show up and go, it's Michelle! I'm back. And God has me. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks that you come into our lives in small moments. In the meantime of orientation and reorientation, in the meantime of disorientation, in those moments when we are frustrated or angry or upset or sad, in those moments of death or grief, in those moments when we experience life and it shakes us at our foundation, guide us, be there with us. Help us see you. We ask all this in your holy and precious name. And we all said, amen.